Just one game this week, the away draw at Colchester. James Hanley thinks it's a brilliant effort. Congrats to Lee Bell and the team. Joe says he knows it was scrappy, but can't add any more as he spent most of the time checking other scores. Darren Stevens thought it was epic emotions. Playoffs were on a knife edge, and up pops Nev, our talisman. Rob Murray thought we were gone and was waiting for a Barrow goal, but some quality from Tabs, Kirk and Nev gave us that point. Andrew Bamforth says our only bit of quality got us our goal. We desperately need some more from somewhere. Andy thought we struggled for most of the game, but that bit of quality showed and we deserve to be in the playoffs. Graham Miles thought we didn't really deserve a point, but the spirit got us through. This season has far exceeded any expectations. Simon Spencer is proud of the lads and how they dug in as a team, regardless of everything. Andy O'Neill thought it was another performance lacking intensity and creativity, but you have to give this team credit for making the playoffs. Tom Mayall says we stumbled over the finish line, but we're here and it's a fantastic achievement. Whatever happens next is a free hit. Dan Colclough says injuries have killed us, but maybe so has the pressure as we've wilted. Hopefully, now that pressure is off, we can play with a bit of freedom. James says we've limped over the line with another poor performance, but great away end for that goal. Rory says he's no expectations against Doncaster, but delighted to be in the playoffs and competing. He is alarmed by the lack of midfield though. Richard Judson says the pressure is over, so let's enjoy the ride and the extra revenue, which will aid next season's campaign. Neil Hulse says the club will be the death of him, but we've done unbelievably well to get there, so let's just go for it. Shedview agrees, huge psychologically for the team, let's go out and play. John Bates says, what a way to end the season. We've got a fighter's chance in the playoffs, just give Nevitt something to hit. Pete has no thoughts on the Colchester game, just Doncaster. We started their run, now let's end it. Tim asks if there's ever been a playoff game between a more in-form and out-of-form team before, but Trevor Griffiths says we're playing Doncaster, not Real Madrid. Bring it on. Hello and welcome back to the latest episode of the Railway Men podcast. To help us go through the victorious 1-1 draw at Colchester, our panel today is Tim Robinson. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Stu. Hi, guys.
Mark Birtles. Hello, Mark.
Hi, everybody, on this glorious Sunday to be alive.
And Tom Bailey. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Stu. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Tim, I'll start with you. It's a long old way to go to Colchester. The three of you did do it. I think maybe a few people decided that they were going to save some pennies for the playoffs that were hopefully going to happen, especially when Sky picked us up for the game for Saturday. But still a pretty decent away following for what is one of the longer days in the season.
I thought it was a great away following. It felt like there was a lot of us in that stand. I know the club said they'd sold 450 tickets beforehand, but it felt like there was a lot more than that there. Didn't see the actual numbers. And it was a very vocal following as well. Me and my brothers went down the night before, did a few of the touristy things, of which there are surprisingly a decent number in Colchester. And we almost managed to miss kickoff, despite having been there from the night before. But yeah, it was good following. And yeah, the crew fans were right up for it.
Yeah, so you mentioned the noise there, Tim. That's what really struck me when me and my son got into the ground. I mean, you'd obviously hope that's the case on the final day of the season in such a key game, but they were really, really behind the team. And after, you know, not a brilliant run recently, you could forgive some of them for not being that way. But it was really, really fantastic support throughout the game, to be fair. But before kickoff, especially, it felt special.
I didn't realise we had so many nurses that were fans and a guy that owns a flamingo. I've not seen him before, but yeah, it was great.
Mark, do you think there's any truth or any credence behind the Scary have picked it to make sure there's no shenanigans going on between two sides that would be happy to shake hands and take a 0-0 before the game?
Yeah, that was my conspiracy. That's exactly why I think they picked it, in case that we played. If the team had played the full 90, like they played the last 2 or 3 minutes, then there would have been no need for any of that stress. Wait till I see the manager. I'll have a word with him. Fancy putting me through that for 90 minutes when they could have just started as they ended. But yeah, I do think that Sky had one eye on it because the Crawleys and Bradfords and Barrows and Suttons of this world would have been wanting to see a proper game, and they most certainly got one.
It was a weird start, though. Don't you think it was almost like we weren't sure? We weren't sure whether we were playing properly or not to start with. We kind of felt a bit tentative, and then Colchester made it obvious to all concerned that we were playing properly by doing stupid things like tackling and scoring.
Tom, before the game, obviously, is the lineup. Joel Taberner kept his place, second game back from injury. We've also got Chris Long coming in, Shiloh Tracy coming in, CBR back on the bench. At that point, when the team sheet came out, you're thinking, okay, we're starting to get these players that we've missed back in. This is all shaping up to be good timing to go into the playoffs. It all looked quite rosy.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you mentioned the bench. That was the thing for me more than anything. You know, we've had times this season where the bench has just been completely threadbare, and actually having a decent looking bench was really nice to see. And yeah, I was confident before the game. I've been talking to my son about it, you know, 6, 7, 8 games out from the end of the season. I just want to see one good performance between now and then to build some momentum. And we got to the stage where I just wanted to see one decent moment during yesterday's game, and show some kind of fight. But having those players back was definitely a positive start. Absolutely.
I did think, you know, when we were watching it, Tim, or when I was watching it rather, Colchester did start better. They did look like, you know, it was more important for them to make sure they didn't go down than we were to make sure we're in the playoffs. I'm sure that's not the case, but that's what it looked like to me watching it. And I wasn't really surprised when they did go ahead after, 36 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, whenever I've seen them, they've looked like a good side. They battered us last season. I saw them play Doncaster and they created loads of chances against them, although they ended up getting beat quite easily in the end in midweek. They've got some very good players. Obviously, they've got Akindi, who we know. We've got the fella who scored the number 10 yesterday, Chilvers, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then they've got those two fellas who are very athletic on the right-hand side. And I think they've got a couple more who were suspended. And yeah, they played really well, but they seem to be quite capable of getting in good positions. And then they just kept on seeming to fire wide. I don't think our keeper actually made that many saves yesterday. It felt like they kept on dragging shots wide of the far post. But yeah, it wasn't a surprise when they went 1-0 up. I think Cooney got done on the right-hand side trying to intercept the ball to Chilvers. And it was actually a nice little touch past him from Chilvers. And then he progressed it towards the edge of the box. I think it was Taberner that was probably a little bit slow coming out to him. And it was a decent strike. I can't, if I'm being honest, I want my keeper to save that. It's at his front post. It's not right in the corner. It's hard and low, but you want him to get down and save that, especially at his near post. I was kind of, when I saw it live, I was wondering if it was one of those ones where maybe he'd been a little bit unsighted and maybe he'd taken a half step to his left and that was why he got beat. But when I look back at the video, it looks like he's got clean sight of it and he should just save it.
Much more kind than I was, Tim, I have to say. Taberner did all right, actually. He took over the jockey and jockeyed him. He showed him outside and he came inside. The goalkeeper has a perfect view and he should save it. It goes straight through him.
Yeah. I mean, from our point of view, I want my keeper to save it. I want Cooney not to get beat in the first place on the right-hand side. And ideally, I'd like to see Taberner. Yeah, you're right. He did a good job of not diving in and he jockeyed him quite well, tried to show him outside. I'd just like him to do it a bit further away from our goal. So, yeah, not a great goal to concede.
No, I think you're right. I think there's a couple. Yeah, Cooney beating too easy. It's not that tricky what Chilvers did. He just one sort of shoulder drop and that was it. He was away. And yeah, I think, I don't know if it did go through, Mark. I would debate that turn of phrase and say I thought he dived full stretch and it's sort of, he still couldn't get there, which if you're being beaten at your front post, then that's all down to your positioning or lack of positioning on your goal line, I think, as a goalie. I might have to watch that wrong. I might have got that wrong.
On the day, I probably would have agreed with you, but having seen it back, it looks like that it hits his hand and goes in anyway. It's just not a strong enough hand. But he shouldn't be. I mean, being overcritical, and I don't want to be because I'm never overcritical of keepers, as you all know. But he's stepped in, hasn't he? And he's helping us out. So you don't want to over criticise him. But if you look at the reaction of some of the players, I think you can tell. You know, I would say that Tom Booth would keep that out.
All right, moving on. Tom, straight away, Holacek has a chance to equalise. It's 2 minutes after their goal. I think he should do better. I think again, having watched it back, I think you can see on the video the wind takes it out of his way just slightly. And he's sort of not sure if Nevitt's going to hit it. And I think as well, not only does he not score, but that last second movement away from the ball and having to readjust, he's injured himself in the process of doing that as well, which is another massive blow for the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. Just not what we need at the moment. It was actually a really lovely ball sprayed out wide from Tabana, who had an up and down game, but had obviously had a very key part to play later on in the game. He sprayed a beautiful ball out wide on the left. Rio brought it down in the box. I think he cut it back to Long, who had a shot, and it kind of looped up in the air, didn't it? And as you say, the wind caught it, and Holacek's running onto it. And as you say, Nev's got his back to goal, but he's kind of shaping to spin and hit it on the turn. And I think, yeah, that probably does put Holacek off slightly. And he kind of scuffs his shot. It kind of trickles into the keeper's hands, doesn't it? And yeah, the injury, I don't know if there's any news in terms of what that looks like. But yeah, if he's out, then that's another massive blow, as you say.
He replied to me on Instagram last night and said that he just landed awkwardly on his ankle and hopefully he'd be okay.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Cheers, Matt.
You here, Mark. Friend of the stars, Mark Birtles. Tim, half-time comes then, not that long after that. I'm optimistic before the game starts. Players back. We just need a point. We find ourselves a goal down, and then as the second half kicks off, two players down, Holacek off, Long off, and I don't know, the spiral started for me, I think, as that second half kicks off, this is going to be the story that Crewe are going to crash out on the last day after being there all season.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was. It just kind of felt that it wasn't going to happen. I think the crowd were good. I think the crowd stayed with the team. There was very little, if any, negativity yesterday, even when people made mistakes. There was one in particular I remember where we got on it looked like we had a 3-on-2 after Rowe robbed the ball in midfield, and then he tried to feed Baker Richardson out wide and missed what was a routine pass. And even at that point, it was, you know, the crowd weren't getting on the fans' backs. It was still largely positive. But by that point, I think Barrow had equalised against Mansfield. And there were sort of like rumours going through the crowd, oh, they're all over him. The Mansfield took the foot off the gas. Mansfield are definitely going to lose this. And you could just see where it was going at that stage. So we needed to get a goal from somewhere, because there was always like the sword of Damocles hanging over us that Barrow were going to get one. And at that point, it would have been us left without a chair.
Yeah, there was rumours, Tim, of Barrow being all over Mansfield and people sending screenshots of goalmouth action, which really helped the mood.
Sorry about that, Mark.
Tim, I'm glad you said that there was, you know, that summed up your mood, because I saw you on the Sky cameras twice during the game yesterday. First half, you were trying to get, it looked like, I don't know if this was the case, it looked like you were trying to get the crowd going, clapping above your head, everyone else sort of ignoring you and pretending they don't know you, despite the fact you were sat next to your two brothers.
Nothing new there, Steve.
Second half, you had put your reading glasses on and you looked very despondent as you were looking at your phone, clearly checking the Barrow score. So it sort of summed up the two moods of Tim yesterday, the first half and the second half, I thought, very nicely by the Sky cameras.
I was on RedTube.
Yeah, I certainly wasn't watching RedTube, but I was watching the scores. And I'll be honest, as the board went up, I got wind that there was 4 minutes injury time at Barrow. So I don't know if you know, on Bet365, they have like a little MIDI, like a VIDI printer thing that shows where the ball is. And I was watching that. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I was following that and glanced up just as the move started down the left-hand side. So it was horrible. At that point, it was horrible. I felt sick and I was just waiting for my phone to light up and say, yeah, Barrow scored. It got that horrible feeling. And then within 2 minutes, the relief that came out to me was on another level.
It was just the most emotionally exhausting day yesterday. You know, that's six and a half hours drive back. And I didn't think I was going to be able to do it when I got in the car, because I'm a huge optimist when it comes to crew. You know, every season I think, you know, it's going to be a decent, you know, all right, last season hasn't been brilliant, but we'll kick on, we'll do something. And I'm always optimistic. And I was optimistic going into the game on the whole. And then as you guys have been talking about, just that creeping dread as the second half came in and all the news of Barrow. And then as you say, Mark, just the pure unadulterated joy of that goal was, that's why we go to the games, I suppose, isn't it? It's all worth it after 90 minutes of essentially a horror show. They came through, as they have done so many times this season as well.
I'll be honest, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but I'm just telling you the truth. I actually welled up at when the final whistle went, because it was just that, just relief. You know, I had to fight them, blink them back, because people would have thought I was off my head. But it really was that relief. I mean, if you see the... It was basically, it transported me back to Wimbledon earlier this season, the way that all the players came over and celebrated with the fans. And if you recall, on that day, some 46-year-old idiot went bundling himself down the steps to join in with the celebrations, and he did it again yesterday. It was amazing, just one of those moments. And I really hope that moment has galvanised the group again, galvanised the fans and the players. And, you know, I hope the players had a really good piss up and a good laugh on the way home on the coach, and they're all, you know, it all feels like we're back together again.
When you go through spells like we have been going through, the one thing you always say is, oh, we just need one to go in off someone's arse. And that is literally what happened yesterday. So hopefully that will, as you say, galvanise the team, and it'll just, hopefully the switch will flick and we'll start playing some decent stuff again now.
Yeah, I think we should probably talk about the goal itself. But Mark, just picking you up on, you know, talking about Wimbledon bowling down to the front this time again. I've mentioned Tim being picked up by the Sky cameras. You were caught by the Sky cameras bowling down to the front of the away end to celebrate with the lads as the young 46-year-old that you are. Should we talk about the goal? I was quite critical of Charlie Kirk last week. I said, you know, I'd given him a bit of time to get fit, to get settled, to get used to the play with this new squad. And he just hadn't really, it just hadn't really worked. He's chosen a time for that to get it right, didn't he, on Saturday afternoon?
If you watch it back, it's a ball from Kirk into Tabana. I'm not sure a week ago that Charlie Kirk would have made the effort to make that run outside him, but he did. And Tabana's bit of skill was just straight out of the Crew Alex Academy. All day. And it was two Crew Alex Academy graduates making the goal, wasn't it? It was superb. And he, credit Kirk, because I've been critical. He did bust a gut to get down that side. Tabs found him. Great pullback. And then, you know, you wouldn't want anyone else on the end of it, really, for all sorts of reasons. You know, his work ethic, the fact that he loves Crew, he loves the fans, we love him. And he's a fox in the box. And it like you say, off his arse. For one horrible split second, I thought it was going to spin and get stuck on the line. But once it was over, I honestly, I can't tell you. I'm sure you all feel the same, but I can't tell you the emotion in that moment. And Trevor, apologies to you, because apparently I knocked him flying. I really didn't mean to. But yeah, it was just unbelievable. One of the, if not the highlight of the season.
That flick from Tabana. It's brilliant, not just because it's a nice bit of skill, but it's the timing of it, because it brings Kirk's man into him, so that when he actually does do the flick, well, for a start, he's held it long enough for Kirk to make the run, but then second of all, he dragged Kirk's man into him, so Kirk's totally free when he does the flick. But yeah, what a run from Nevitt, that is.
He comes across two men, if you watch it back.
Attacks the front post space. It's exactly what you want from your striker. And yeah, I was the same as you. When the keeper saved it and it bounced off Nevitt, and then you could see it was going towards the line, I thought it wasn't going to make the line. It seemed to take forever to go over it. I'm not even sure it touched the net. And then it was just pandemonium.
It's weird, actually, because when I watched it back last night, it goes over the line a lot quicker on the video than it did on the day.
I thought the keeper was going to roll over and pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it did seem to take an eternity. I'm with you both there. It was agonizing, but yeah, just the same thing as you were saying, Mark. Like just the emotion of the actual moment as well. But I was also there with my lad, who's the same age I was. I think when we went up in the 90s through the playoffs, and just bringing all of that coming back to me and what have you. It's it was just a magical moment that I don't think either of us will ever forget. I'm just so glad. You know, I said it was such a long round trip and what have you, but all of that made it worth it. It was absolutely fantastic.
Tom, you've just sort of preempted me there. I was going to ask you, you live about as far away from Crewe as it's possible to be and still be in England. And you're determined to raise this young lad a Crewe fan. It's moments like that that are going to cement in his head that maybe dad does know what he's on about. And, you know, maybe he is going to be another one of us, a Crewe fan for life. Did you get that feeling when that goal went in? Like, you know, the joy of a young supporter.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, believe me, there aren't many moments where he thinks dad knows what he's talking about. So yeah, it's particularly nice. But no, absolutely. It was beautiful. Honestly, he's a teenager and you get further and further away from that kind of closeness at times and what have you. And it's just moments like that, like I said earlier, we'll remember it forever. And I think I think it was already cemented, to be honest with you. I think he's already firmly there. But yeah, I think that will be the final piece that means, yeah, like I said earlier, he'll never forget it. And I won't ever forget it. It was really, really special moment.
You I don't want to tell you you're wrong, Tom, but Wembley will be the final piece.
That's true. It's a good point, yeah.
You almost said final nail in the coffin there, didn't you, Tom? That was...
As well as the fact that the goal did what it did in terms of the celebrations and hopefully reigniting something within the club. What I loved most about Belly's presser after was the fact that he acknowledged that we got that goal and we in the playoffs on merit, which we were anyway, because it's a 9-month season and recency bias can come in. But it stops anyone saying that, well, you only sneaked in because Barrow drew on the last day. Like, we've earned that. And we're in there because we deserve to be there, which we always were. But you know what I'm saying? That goal just made it at the end. Because, you know, if we'd have got in the playoffs on the results, but the atmosphere wouldn't have been like that at the end. I think Crewe fans would have perhaps gone a lot earlier than they did. You know, on the whistle, I would think most of them would have gone. But we had that lovely moment where all the players came over and they were doing the fist pumps. And I don't know, it just feels like it means a lot, that goal. I think it could prove to be massive.
I really think that could be the case. Like I said, I think it's reminiscent of some of those games earlier in the season when we were playing much better and maybe we weren't quite about to get the result and we would pop up in injury time with a goal and we just started to get this momentum. And yeah, it's one goal, but it's the goal we needed at the time we needed, and maybe just the nature of the way it came about might just be the thing that spurs us on to play a lot better than we have been in the next two games, three games, hopefully.
And even more so, Doncaster found themselves 2-0 up, went the other way, they drew 2-2 and had the keeper sent off. So
yeah.
You don't know, I go on about psychology all the time. You don't know, do you?
I think the pressure is on them, isn't it, really? You know, they've gone on this ridiculous run and it has, you know, all pass and they've been fantastic and they've gone a ridiculous run, but it's all for nothing if they don't beat us over two legs. You know, the pressure's on them. We've ended up limping over the line, but we're there on merit, as you say. You know, we've had a superb season and it just so happens, you know, we've had a couple of patches in the season, one in the last month where we look like we can't buy a goal a lot of the time. But you've got to remember where we've been. We've been superb so many times this season and I think we've got the chance to do it. I really, really, like I say, I'm an optimist. I really, really think we can do it.
But I think one thing about yesterday's game, the goal came from a bit of skill. And I think that's the one thing that we've shown a risk aversion in a lot of our passing over the last few weeks. Players haven't been getting in the box. We haven't been trying risky passes. We've been worried about giving it away. I'd just like to see a bit more fun and a bit more risk taken from the players. And hopefully the fact that having a flick came off and put Kirk in yesterday for the goal, maybe that will trigger it.
I felt like we'd become predictable. I almost knew what we were trying to do before we'd done it. you know, we were making the same runs and the same passes. And for once, you know, they say, don't they, players go out and express themselves. I think that's what Tabana did. And it's that freedom and imagination. And it caught them cold. It was amazing. And it megged the player, didn't it? It nutmegged his man. You know, I always say this, but if, I don't know, if someone in the Premier League's doing that, then we're watching it all week.
I think the point for me from that goal, as much as the finish was great, the flick from Tabana was great. It was what really annoyed me about Charlie Kirk last week was something that in the grand scheme of things didn't really mean anything. And I'm sure you can all remember 90th minute with 3-0 down, the ball's not going out for a throw and he doesn't bother getting it. And they go and collect it and they're on the attack again. That was, to me, showing why I think the move had been a failure. If you look at the run he makes, and you are completely right with the fact that Tabana holds it up and makes it long enough, and the way Tabana moves the ball means Kirk's defender gets stuck with it, but it's a full-on sprint. That defender's not staying with Kirk if he can get around him. You know, and he's putting the effort in. That's all we want. Like, you know, we just want that. And I think maybe that there's been a bit of a lack of effort because there's been a bit of a lack of belief that the goals, the results are going to happen. And we have to have that belief that we're going to score and we're going to keep the team out in the playoffs, because we don't want this to be a two-game end of season competition. We want it to be three and we want to be successful. So, you know, if Charlie Kirk does stuff like that in the next three games, sign him up, give him a 5-year deal, a 10-year deal, couldn't care less. But I think we need to see more of it than once in one game. I think that's the thing, isn't it?
Well, we've been saying, haven't we, for a few weeks, and I know Graham McGarry's championed it a lot. You don't get to pick and choose when you go for a promotion. An extension to that is you don't get to pick and choose when you play at Wembley. I mean, what a chance. Some of these players will never get that chance again. That's football. It's over so quick. So, I mean, now's the time. And Charlie Kirk can write himself into crew folklore maybe for a second time if he delivers moments like that across the playoffs. Because I'll repeat what I said earlier. A week ago, I don't think he's arsed enough to make that run on the outside. I just don't think he would have stayed there and maybe had the ball back or played it simple. But, you know, hopefully Belly said to him, go on and get a goal, make a difference. And he did.
Do you think that's because he's expecting Joel Tabana to be able to make that ball and he's not maybe thought that other players can do that for him, and there's actually a possibility of getting the ball back off Tabana from there?
Possibly. I mean, they're two crew Alex midfielders, aren't they, at the end of the day? They've been brought up on moments like that. They'll have done that hundreds, thousands of times in training. So, yeah, you might have a very good point there.
There was two other points I'd written down. We've sort of touched on it already with Nevitt. I wrote down with the goal, it had to be Nevitt. Like, it just did, the seasons that he's had. But I guess it had to be Nevitt based on what you've already said, Tim. It had to be him because he's the one that's making those great runs, who's putting himself out there to score the goals. So, yeah, it had to be him in terms of he's got the ability, but it just had to be there because it's fitting for the season that he's had as a striker, especially when we look at where he was last year.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. And, you know, after the goal, the way he celebrated and then came back and celebrated again, I loved it. And I don't think I've liked watching a player in a crew shirt as much as him for a long, long time. I don't think he's the best player from a technical standpoint, but I think the fact that he's worked his way to this point in his career, the hard way, I think he never leaves anything out on the pitch. And I just love that attitude in a crew player. I think it's fantastic. He almost scored a screamer not long before, by the way, as well. Hit one from 25 yards that just whistled past the post, purposely left a bit of fade on it to take it away from the keeper and just gave it a bit too much fade and it beat the post as well. If that had gone in, the celebrations then would have been epic. But yeah, brilliant player, deserved his goal fully, and hopefully it won't be his last of the season.
He's almost an old-school crew signing, almost a Dario signing, but he's just gone the long way round. He's come from non-league, and he's got that hunger. And he obviously didn't get the coaching or the time or the patience or whatever it was at Tranmere, but he's landed on our doorstep. It's proved to be a very astute signing by Belly when we got him. And people were comparing him initially to Basala Sambu in terms of, yeah, he's got the effort, he puts the effort in, but he doesn't score. But we've persevered and we've coached him, and, you know, I'd urge anybody to go and watch the goal back, but just focus on Nev, because he comes steaming across that front post past two defenders. And I don't think there's another player on the football pitch, I have to say, in a crew shirt that would be willing to do that at that point. I think that just epitomises him as a footballer and a bloke.
The other thing to point out as well is, really, if anyone in this team needed a rest over this run-in, it's him. He's had to basically play every single minute of every single game because CBR and Long haven't been fit and we've got no one else. And he is, I bet, you know, they've all got the bras on that measure how far they run in every game. I bet you he's near the top in terms of distance covered every single game.
Yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant. I can't add a huge amount to what you've said, but yeah, I just want to add to the voices that, you know, despite what happened last season, he's come in with the right work ethic and attitude, and he's got his rewards. He's been absolutely superb, and as you say, Tim, he's a joy to watch out on the pitch. Puts it all, you know, every piece of effort he can do every single minute he's on the pitch, and it's a joy to watch.
Just on that, before we move on, if I miss anyone, let me know. But on that note, Tim, it's a massive nod to Mickey Demetriou, Rio Adebisi, and Nev have been mainstays throughout the injury crisis. They've barely missed a game, if any, have they? I don't think Rio's missed any games, has he?
Not that I can remember.
Rio's ever present.
There is one more thing from the goal, and then I will move on. I've mentioned Mark, I've mentioned Tim, the Sky cameras picking you up. Tom, I didn't really see you, unfortunately, but the Sky cameras did cut to Ryan Dicker and Lee Bell arm in arm. I think Lee Bell had jumped into Ryan Dicker, had his legs around him. Like, the goal meant so much to him. The goal means, we've talked about this before, you know, most managers care because it's their job to care, and they do. And, you know, but it does mean a little bit more to Lee Bell. And it seems a bit cliche to say that, but he is one of us. This, you know, this is, he's going for promotion both with his job, but also for his football club that he supports. And I do think it means a little bit more, Mark. Am I just being a bit cliche, a little bit dewy-eyed?
No, not at all. We're talking about a lad that comes from a beautiful location in the world, just down the road from Crewe.
No, he's from Alsager.
Oi.
But he was in the, you know, I remember him at school. He's been in the Crewe Academy from, I don't know how old he was, but from a young age.
He used to play Monday Night League with us on the
Yeah, he did. I've seen him in the local lads and dads leagues. You know, he's been through the Crewe Academy. He went away, he came back, and it did work for him the second time round because he was just the same player. Found himself a coach and now a manager. So, no, I don't think it's a, being dewy-eyed to suggest that's the case. It definitely is. And I messaged him last night, and he was absolutely over the moon. Absolutely over the moon. But in typical Belly fashion, he was over the moon for the players and the fans, didn't take any credit himself. And, you know, and I think that anybody that was against us making an inside appointment again in the managerial role, there's the argument for it. That passion that the Sky cameras obviously picked up that I didn't see, but I was a bit busy at the time.
it's a phenomenal achievement, isn't it? I mean, look, I mean, you think you mentioned it on the last part of the one before, but look at where we were expected to finish widely, and where we were before Bell took over. He's done a ridiculously good job, and it's easy to forget that when you go on a run of four or five games like we have done where we've not looked too great. Him and Dicker have done a superb job, and that the whole staff and the playing staff have worked together so well. And they deserve it. They deserve that moment yesterday. And we deserved it as fans. If you go and follow them through thick and thin. I'm just delighted. I'm delighted for him. I'm delighted for us as fans as well.
Yeah, it shouldn't be underestimated what an achievement that is. I mean, I think Donny are the media darlings because they've won like 9 or 10 on the spin. And, you know, I'm sure we'll be massive underdogs. But we finished on the same points as them, and their budget absolutely dwarfs ours. So, absolutely fantastic achievement to finish sixth in this division with the size of some of the clubs and the size of some of the budgets. Yeah, absolutely wonderful. And we'd have all have taken that at the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like people are tired of me saying it, but at the start of the season, my prediction was seventh. And I said, that's as optimistic as I can be, at the most optimistic that I feel without any football playing. We've gone one place higher. So anybody, anybody with any football knowledge knows that Lee Bell and the squad have overachieved this year, regardless of how the season sort of felt like it was petering out. We've done it, we're over the line, and now it starts again. Last thing I think on this game before we move ahead to what is coming up. If Sky were there to see if there was any shenanigans between Colchester and Crewe, for about 93 minutes, there's a strong case to argue that wasn't the case. For about 2 minutes, some of the best football I think is ever going to be played live onto TV. It was phenomenal, wasn't it, Tim?
It was wonderful to watch. I think it would have brought a tear to the eye, some of the beautiful passing football that was on display for those last 90 seconds or whatever it was. I'm pretty sure I saw, although I was 70 yards away, Charlie Kirk do a couple of keepy-ups at one stage before knocking it slowly back to Rio. I noticed there was one of their players that seemed to have not got the memo. 10 of them stayed in their own half with their hands on their hips, and one of them was running around charging after the ball like a loon. And all his teammates going, "What are you doing?" And eventually he gave up.
I couldn't have just done that from the start, though. I wouldn't have minded 90 minutes of that. My heart certainly wouldn't have minded it.
I'd have cheered that wholeheartedly if they'd have just done that for 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was a nice way to finish the game. I think the referee was looking to put a bit more time on at the end of the game after the goal in injury time, but he just decided once Charlie Kirk was doing keepy uppies, it was probably time for everyone to call it a day, let the Colchester fans celebrate survival and let the Crewe fans celebrate making it into the playoffs. So yeah, the season continues. Next, we will have a little look at the playoffs. But first, we will hear from the women's team, who for the final time this season played Blackpool at home on Sunday.
Matt, final game of the season, big win against a depleted Blackpool team.
Happy with the performance. We felt it was a little bit stale in the first half, but probably understandable under the circumstances with the situation Blackpool were in. But we said to the girls beforehand, we have to be professional. We have to. There's no shame in trying to beat a team. We have to beat what's put out in front of us. We just do it in the correct manner. And I felt like the girls did that. Felt a little bit like an exhibition game in the first half. But I suppose mentally and psychologically, it's very difficult to get in a competitive mindset when that happens. But credit to Blackpool, you know, the girls that did travel, they gave everything for the badge and were ultimately professional.
Yeah, you've got to keep you cool in those moments. And we did for the most part, didn't we? Some good goals.
Yeah, some great goals. Felt like there was a couple of goal of season contenders there. You know, obviously you're going to expect, without being arrogant about it, you're going to expect to score some goals when you're playing against a team that was struggling like they were. But the way the goals went in, the goals that were scored, I think it was really good to watch and really good for the players as well, because the players that did score are players that maybe struggled for minutes and stuff this year. There's a little bit of battle between some personalities in terms of who finished top scorer. So it was nice to sit back and watch that. Just nice way to end the season.
Obviously an important game as well. Beth Ragdale, servant to the club, her last game. How are you feeling about that?
Emotional, probably one word that sums it up. I've said everything that I can say about Beth today, and I can't do any more words, don't do it justice. She's given everything that she can for this club, and her experience in is going to be missed massively in what is a really young side. So, I just can't do her justice. She's an amazing person, an amazing player, but above all, you know, she's very special.
I'd like to say Beth is with us now. Beth, how are you feeling after that?
Very emotional. It's hard to put into words, you know, this amount of time that I've played for the club. But I'm just so thankful to the girls and Matt and the coaching team for, letting me have a brilliant last season.
Your last game was a good one to go out on, wasn't it?
100%, yeah. As you say, a bit of a depleted Blackpool side, but yeah, I thought the goals were great and everyone was pushing for more.
So. Awesome, thank you very much. Yeah. Top serving.
Thank you.
Cheers, Matt.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, Ewan.
Okay, Monday, sort of late afternoon, early evening, a week's time, it is Doncaster. Thoughts and feelings on the game, Tom, coming up in a week?
Well, if you look at the last six games, Crewe have scored two. Doncaster have scored 19 in their last six games, which is the negative part. However, as I've mentioned, I'm an optimist. I choose to look past that. And do you know what? We're there on merit, as I've said. And I think we've got absolutely nothing to lose now. And I really do think the nature of that last minute goal could just spur us on. And I really hope there is that togetherness now. And I believe it will be there. I think there'll be players in that dressing room now and Belly and the staff. Look, you deserve to be here. You're here on merit. You know, absolutely nothing to lose. Go out and play your football. Go out and show this division what you've got. And I really do believe we can do it. Yes, they've been on a ridiculous run, but it's theirs to lose now. And I think that will play on their minds. And I think we need to just go out there and get at them.
Like I said, I think that maybe that goal psychologically does for us the opposite to what being 2-0 down and getting pegged back by them yesterday. That's what I hope anyway. And obviously they lost the keeper. I don't know much about their second choice keeper, but I assume it was a straight red. So is that a two match ban, is it?
It was deliberate handball, so it'll just be one.
One. All right. Well, one's enough. Got nothing to lose, have we? The season almost resets. It's a 3-game season. And as I've already alluded to, the chance to play at Wembley doesn't come around very often. For most players, it never comes around at all. So the incentive is there. It's up to us now. And hopefully that moment yesterday, and hopefully the trip home on the coach as well, where the beer was flowing and they've all had a laugh, reignites whatever it was that I felt was gone. You know, I said it a few weeks ago. You alluded to it, Tom, before, you know, that I don't even know what it was, but there was something that drove them on to the end of the game, that never-say-die attitude. And we all felt it in the stand, didn't we? Early on in the season, we felt like we were never beaten. And hopefully yesterday, it woke that back up.
El Crapico in the playoffs.
I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. But We're the underdogs again now for the first time since Christmas. You know, they're the receiver, we're the retriever. I reckon it'll suit us down to the ground. When I look at this season, I think it kind of feels like it was in two parts. The first half of the season, which felt really successful, I felt like we played a really high intensity pressing game, and I think it caught a lot of teams out. But the problem with introducing that sort of style of play is it's exhausting to maintain that over a 46-game season, which is a long season. It's really difficult to do with a small squad, which is what we've got. So players get tired and players get injured because of the intensity. You pick up a lot of muscular injuries, and then it's even more intense for the guys that are left. And then it kind of felt like halfway through the season, we realised that we couldn't continue playing that high-intensity game. And then we started to play more kind of counter-attacking game where we were trying to get it forward back to front more quickly, and that suited us, especially when we had Offord. I kind of feel now players are starting to come back from injury, we've got the potential to go back to the style of play we had at the start of the season. Front foot, high intensity, high press. And there have been signs to me, the first 20 minutes against Wrexham, at times yesterday, that we are starting to adopt that again. I think Chris Long was pressing really well from the front yesterday. So I kind of think we might just surprise Doncaster by being completely different from the team that played against them 6 weeks ago. But what we do need is something to reignite us, to get that spirit, that joie de vivre that you were talking about there, Mark, like bubbling again. So just hopefully that goal there and the piss up on the coach on the way home, as you say, can be the thing that starts us going again.
I wouldn't say, I don't think it's unfair to say that when we took the, certainly at Derby, when we took the pitch at Derby, Stockport, Notts County, and maybe even Barrow away, we were the underdogs. And maybe it's not a coincidence that all of those games are some of the best performances of the season. I don't think anybody, certainly outside the crew, would have predicted that we'd get anything out of any of those games at the time. And probably including me in the case of Stockport away, particularly, and probably Derby. So it might suit us being the underdog again. I think we perform better. You know, I've said a few times, I always got more nervous when we turned up at Gresty Road playing a team where everyone expected us to score, because you end up with a Grimsby and a Forest Green scenario. So maybe this is so perverse and weird, but maybe that unbeaten run of Doncaster's will actually do crew a favour.
Yeah, there's many, many reasons to want to win this game. You know, the number one is promotion
Jason Price.
back in League One, but Doncaster, they have a special place in my brain of PTSD from that Football League Trophy semi-final where we were minutes away from the final. This feels like a good place, Tim, to finally put those demons to bed and just banish them forever.
Are you talking about Jason Price?
I might be, yes.
If we're talking about setting demons to rest, I hope everyone spared a thought yesterday for poor George Ray dropping out of the playoffs, just as he dropped to the ground at the railway end to wrongly earn the penalty earlier on in the season. So enjoy your summer, George.
I think that the fact they've got no goalkeeper is a good thing. I think that the fact that, you know, they have got this unbeaten run might be weighing on them. It's also, like you just said, Tim, it's exhausting. You know, it has to fail at some time. You know, it's like I was saying last week on the pod about a very different subject. Nothing lasts forever. Doncaster's unbeaten run isn't going to go on from now until football stops finishing being played. It has to go at some point. Why not us? We're there, as we've said so many times, on merit. We are one of the best teams in this division.
They weren't that good when we played them. They scored a goal off a corner, and other than that, it was a very even game.
Yeah, I did say on the coach on the way in last night, you know, let's put this in context. We're playing Doncaster Rovers, not Barcelona. They're a League Two side, and we've beaten them once this season.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was people, and I sort of, I might be accused of calling them out, which wasn't my intention, of saying that they didn't want to make the playoffs because it would be an embarrassment. I said, that's ludicrous. As a fan, you want your team to do as well as you can. There are now people, and again, I'm not calling anybody out saying, we've done it, we've achieved what we set out to do. No, we've got there. What we set out to do is promotion. There's no I'm not going into this thinking, oh, it's just nice to have some games in the playoffs, be on Sky. I'm wanting to win this. The players want to win this.
Well, again, here I go again with my psychology talk. But I was on Radio Stoke on Friday doing a praise and grumble. And I said then there's a danger sometimes of football clubs and players to almost feel like the objective has now been achieved. You know, that yesterday was some sort of celebration and we can all go away and enjoy the summer. Well, no, actually, we've achieved nothing. The really serious stuff starts now. And it was very telling yesterday that while the players were celebrating, the crowd were encouraging Belly to do the three fist pumps, and he refused. He shook his head. And I would imagine that's the reason why, because his head will already be on Doncaster.
To be fair, as well,
it's an amazing achievement, but we haven't actually achieved anything.
To be fair as well, doing the three fist pumps after a 1-1 draw at Colchester is a bit embarrassing.
Yeah, but he could have got caught up in the moment, and he didn't. I would have got caught up in the moment. I was doing it with the players.
I think it's spot the reasoning you've given there, I think, is spot on, Mark, because he was celebrating and he was there and clearly extremely happy that we got over the line. But you're right, that was my immediate thought as well when he shook his head. We're not finished the season yet. We've still got three games to go. I think that's exactly it.
He'll do them at Wembley.
Absolutely.
100%. One thing to note, whilst we've recorded this, the club have announced ticket prices for the semi-final home leg, the Monday. Mark, £20. Good offer from the club. It will be on Sky, so there'll be some extra revenue there. But it really is an occasion to fill the ground and, you know, maybe even challenge that attendance against Disney FC from the last home game to try and really get the fans in there to give us that push that we're going to need to get to Wembley.
Superb. And as you've rightly said, it's only just come out on social media as we are recording this now. So a huge nod to the board, the chairman, the club. I think 20 quid's reasonable. I would imagine this is a given, but I hope we only give Doncaster down the side. We don't give them behind the goal as well. And we get that full of Crewe fans. That's a good marketing ploy there, Stu, for the club straight away. Let's beat Wrexham. Let's beat that attendance, even if it's by one. You know, if you came to the Wrexham game, come back and let's see what happens. Bring a mate, bring your next-door neighbour, bring somebody else's next-door neighbour. I don't really care. Let's just, as long as you don't sit in my seat, let's just fill it. and hopefully make it a brilliant, well, it's an evening, isn't it? Is it a 5:30 kickoff? Yeah, and let's do ourselves proud in front of the cameras.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, this will be four games on the spin on Sky, right? When have we had that before? But it's, you know, it's good to do a ticket offer as well. Like, nothing ever goes wrong when we do a ticket offer.
Positive, Tim. Positive.
I think it's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's been shown to work earlier in the season, even if the games haven't gone as we've wanted. And yeah, I think it's fantastic. Let's get as many people down there as we can, and let's really cheer them on, and let's get over the line together.
All right. I think because it's a special preview, a preview of a two-legged affair, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you for your predictions for the game at Gresty Road and your prediction for the tie as a whole. So, Tim, what do you see happening next week?
We're going to go 1-0 down, but come back to win 2-1 in the first leg. And then at their place on the Friday, we're going to go 2-0 down and then come back to draw 2-2 with second half goals from Colin Little and Sean Smith.
So have you taken on board my history doesn't repeat itself, it does echo?
It does echo.
From last week to heart there. Anyone who's not old enough to know what Tim's just suggested there is a full repeat of the 97 playoff semi-final against Luton.
The difference being this time, Tim, if that happens, I'm very unlikely to see the final because I'll have had some sort of stroke or heart attack.
What do you actually think is going to happen, Tim?
I think we'll win at home and draw away.
Nice. Mark?
I concur. I think we'll win. We'll nudge it ahead at home and then it'll be a back to the wall, Coventry-esque sort of, maybe even... No, I don't want to tempt fate. No. Yeah, we'll win at home, draw away.
Tom?
At the risk of sounding unimaginative, yes, I think we'll win at home and draw away. I think, yeah. Yeah. I think we'll play well in that first leg, and I think we'll take a couple of goals into the second leg and it'll be enough.
I'm gonna repeat the conversation that was on the coach last night. Luke Offord has been seen at the awards ceremony without a boot on, and he was on the pitch yesterday without a boot on. Is there any way that he makes it for the second semi or the final?
I don't know. Not the physio. I hope so. I'd love it if he was.
Can you text him
and ask him? I don't know him. But we were talking about it on the way back, and some were saying, well, it's a huge risk because he's out of contract. What if he gets injured again? But, you know, it's Luke Offord. He'll want to play. And remember when we went to Southend away and we didn't think we got Artel, and he had the injection and he's broken toe and played, and it gave everybody that. He's playing. You know, could history repeat itself again? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
It'd be lovely if it's true. Yep.
The three of you here predicting that it is safe to start looking at hotels, transport down to Wembley, pubs in the Wembley area, May the 19th. So make sure you're ready, ladies and gentlemen. I spoke to Daniel to get the Doncaster perspective going into the playoffs. Hi, Daniel. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Are you okay?
Yeah, all good. Thank you. Yeah, much better after Saturday. I think we'll start, if we can, with the elephant in the room. The last time you and I spoke, I asked you whether Doncaster were going to be the first team crew were going to play that were on the beach. That has spectacularly backfired as a question. what do you think caused it?
It's really hard to like put your finger on it. I remember you saying that at the time, and I was thinking, actually, looking at the table, I still felt like we needed some points to move away from the bottom two. And I guess what's happened now, I mean, it sounds really straightforward, but I think at the start of the season, Grant McCann was trying to get almost sort of two teams in place and then, you know, have a really strong start in 11 and then look to, you know, them to perform. And then if he needs to put people in, you know, hoping that, you know, whoever comes in takes their chance. And that's really what's happened in the last few weeks. But obviously, up to that point, we were showing no signs of any sort of consistency. So you could see what we were capable of in patches. But, you know, I think to a point we'd lost so many games that you just thought we're not going to go on any, sort of run that's not going to see a loss at some point. But I mean, full credit to him. I think going into that game at Sutton, that felt like it was, you know, we needed to look at getting a result just to stay in the league. You know, he said going into that game, no, there's 18 games left. He kept talking about being top of this 18-game table. And I think everyone was thinking, we just need to get a result on Saturday. But each week that's gone by, he's kept speaking about that table. And apparently it's been up in the training ground. And he felt if we were top of that 18-game table, we would get to where he wanted us to be. I don't think anyone else was thinking like that, to be honest, but that's exactly how it's panned out. But I think some decent recruitment, players coming back from injury, confidence, momentum. And then in these last three games, I think we've shown some real resilience. 2-0 down at home to Barrow, 1-0 down at Colchester, 2-0 up yesterday, but the goalie sent off. McCann's got a touchline ban, so he can't directly influence things on the touchline. I know in essence all you've got to do is get a goalie on, but it was chaos in that moment of trying to work out what we're going to do. So I think, yeah, there's more to it than just momentum now. They've shown some real, like I say, character and resilience. And yeah, I mean, it's quite unbelievable, to be fair. I'm still not sure how we've done it, if I'm being totally honest.
At what point did you think it was on? Because obviously Doncaster started going on this run, and then people were saying, well, they've won three in a row, but they're not going to win all of their games. They've won four in a row. They've won five. They could maybe do it. They could, you know, they've won six. At what point did you personally think, do you know what? We could actually be the team that sneaks in here.
Yeah, I mean, probably only after we beat Accrington recently. So I think we went into a game against Walsall, and we were, just trying to get the maths right, I think we were 7 points behind with five to play. But Crawley were at Wrexham that night. So I remember thinking, you know, I've got a lot of time and respect for what Scott Lindsay's done at Crawley, but I thought reality is they're probably not going to win at Wrexham. So say they lose or get a point. If we could beat Walsall, who were one of the rivals then, I don't know, that might be 4 or 5 points with four games. Okay, that feels achievable. And obviously they lost and we won. So it's 4 points with four. And then they had Colchester at home, which I thought, well, they're fighting for their lives. Maybe they can nick a point. But Colchester actually won and, sorry, went and beat Crawley. We beat Accrington. And then I'm like, hang on a minute. It's now 1 point with three games to go. And we've won eight in a row. So I think it got to a point where we'd won 4 or 5 in a row. And I think at the end of that game on social media, it was like we've won whatever. I think it was 4 in a row. And I remember just thinking, oh, we just won that game. It was almost like not thinking about we've won 4 in a row, as daft as that sounds, until it was actually there. So all the way along. And, you know, I just had a feeling at some point, you know, like you've said, winning 11 in a row was pretty unthinkable, even when we got to 8. So I went up to the Barrow game last week thinking, I don't know, there was so much confidence and optimism, but I remember thinking, this feels like a game where we could come unstuck. You've just seen it over the years. So obviously when we were 2-0 down at half-time, I was thinking, actually, yeah, maybe this is the game. But, you know, even then, people around me were like, if we can get a goal back, we're back in it. And I was just thinking, I can't see it, because they pretty much, I know they were 2-0 up, but they pretty much parked the bus and stopped us from playing in the first instance. And they're a strong physical side. I thought, I can't see us getting back into it. But we got the penalty. Everything changed on that. And it was just like all-out attack. But then going to Colchester thinking they needed a result. I don't know, if we even if we get a draw there, it goes to the last day. But to win that, Gillingham had lost the week before, so you're thinking they've got nothing to play for now. So it was all pretty, yeah, in my head, it's happened very quickly. And even going into stoppage time yesterday, I weren't convinced we were going to do it, because obviously I'd heard that Crewe had equalised. I was trying to keep away from the other results, but I had it on the stream yesterday. So it was coming through the commentary. I couldn't avoid it. And Barrow had equalised. So I'm like, well, if Barrow score now and we concede, that's it. So even with 5 minutes to go, I was thinking, We've not done it yet. So I don't know if I'm in the minority, but until I could hear the cheer in the away end, and I went on Twitter and I saw Barrow was full time, I'm like, so we are in it. So probably at that point was when it actually sunk in.
I'm going to ask you the next question, and I'll give you my opinion as an outsider looking in, who's obviously only watched Doncaster twice this year. The strengths of the team, I would say, from what I remember from the away game at your place, was the forward line and the goalkeeper. Is that fair? Have I forgotten anyone or got that wrong?
Yeah, I think over the last few weeks as the run's developed, I think it really has been a case of the team functioning as a whole. So I think having Richard Wood back leading the defence, I mean, it's been no coincidence the form's upturned since he's come back in. But I think what we've seen really is, like I say, it's hard to explain. He's almost got an 11, wherever that started, and it's actually hard to remember now. It was almost like 11 players have gone out and played well. The people who are not in have now got to get into the team, you know, because there was a period this season where I think, you know, to be fair, he was running out of ideas a little bit, because whatever we were trying, something seemed to go wrong. We had 15 injuries at one point. But I think what he's done now is, you know, like on Tuesday, I'm thinking there's probably two positions we're not 100% on, and that was centre-back and the third midfielder in the system he plays. And that was the two changes he made on Tuesday. So I'm thinking everything seems aligned here, that we're thinking almost nine players are picking themselves. And it wasn't because of somebody being out of form. It's just, I don't know, we've got two or three good options for one position. So I think that consistency in the selection has really helped. But yeah, I mean, the forward line, I mean, obviously Hakiba Delican coming in on loan has transformed us. I know he's been great himself, but what it's effectively done is freed Luke Molyneux up, because I think earlier in the season, teams could identify Molyneux as the threat. They'd double up on him and it shut us down pretty much as an attacking unit. Whereas against Barra last week, to be fair, they actually doubled up in the wide areas with the system. They sort of played a 5-4-1. So every time it went wide, they had two people in position. As we moved it back in, they had two people in on our attacking midfielders. But then we brought Kyle Hurst on, put Adelican through the middle, and it was like, you can't now double up in three areas, because when they were trying to do that, then the midfielders were free. So I think, yeah, it's fair to say, obviously Ironside, 24 goals. He's been an absolute warrior up front for us. The two wide players are in form. Kyle Hurst really unlucky not to be in. And yeah, the goalkeeper has made a difference. But as we saw yesterday, I'm not too sure what he was doing. But when he went off, Young Jones came on. I mean, he must have been sitting there thinking, I've not played for 3 months. We're 2-0 up. You know, what we're having for a bite to eat on the way home. Probably a couple of lemonades, and then hang on, right, you're on. First thing he's doing is picking it out of the net from the free kick. Then it was chaos for 5 or 10 minutes, but he made a brilliant save towards the end. But it's like, I mean, what was going through his head? I mean, he's just been sat on the bench for 3 months. So even without our goalkeeper and with 10, I mean, I know we let a 2-0 lead slip, but I mean, to come away with a draw, I felt was like a phenomenal effort, because at 2 each, with 30 minutes plus stoppage time, I'm thinking there's no way we're not going to concede again. But we even had 2 or 3 chances. We should have had a penalty. Their goalie came racing out and clattered one of ours. That was like waved away. We had a free kick on the edge of the box for handball. So we actually had 3 half-decent opportunities, even with 10. So I think, like you say, to be fair, obviously the keeper's been brilliant. And I think, you know, it was interesting. Tom Anderson came straight out after the game and said, you know, we're not talking about him getting sent off, or it's just we're sticking together. Everyone's made mistakes. Everyone's done well. But even then, it was almost like business as usual. The next goalkeeper's coming on and we're getting on with it. But I think, yeah, we have been strong defensively and midfield as well. Owen Bailey's played every single game. Matty Craig on loan from Tottenham, he's just skillful, classy. He's learnt League Two pretty quickly, so he knows how to put his foot in now. So yeah, I would actually say probably our strength is just, you know, the spine of the team has developed with Lotatala, Wood, Bailey, and Ironside as the main four. But yeah, probably our forward area is where it's clicked, because now we're just scoring goals. And obviously that means that cures some of your defensive problems, because you're not defending most of the time.
Dan, how confident are you, how confident is the Doncaster fan base that this is going to end in a Wembley triumph?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think because this run's gone on, as daft as it sounds, it was almost like we've not thought about the playoffs as such in their own right. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's almost felt like, you know, McCann said yesterday, like, we haven't actually achieved anything, which I think is... That mindset, to me, suggests that the team are actually going to go and do it. But I think as fans, I don't know, at every point, I've just thought we're going to lose a game, surely, or not win one. And it felt like we might need to win every game. I mean, it's taken quite a spectacular turn in other teams' results. I think, like, Barrow got 2 points from 7 games. Obviously, yourselves have not been on a great run. Crawley have been slipping. Bradford have come with a run that, to be fair, in any other season would have been like ours, but I don't think anyone's even mentioned that. So I think, you know, like you say, actually, when Tom Anderson was interviewed after the game, he didn't even know who we'd got. It was like, right, what do you think of the playoffs? And it was like, remind me who we've got. Our crew, yeah, well, whoever we're playing, we'll just approach it in that same mentality. So it's been pretty, I don't know, I mean, there must be a bit of psychology to that. You know, they must have been thinking, how are we going to get in the playoffs and who are we going to get? But it generally does look from the outside in that they've just looked at each game as, like I said, we're not trying to win 11 in a row. Once we got to 5 or 6, we're trying to win one game, you know, 5 times, say. And yeah, it's almost now you're sitting thinking, almost feels like we've achieved what we set out to achieve. And obviously we're nowhere near that. But, you know, even if yesterday, even if we'd have conceded again and Barrow had scored, I think I'd still be sitting there, you know, like proud of the team. And, you know, I know, don't get me wrong, emotions run high and no doubt people would have got criticised for what happened in that game. But it just feels like it's been such a collective effort and so strong that actually whether we go up or not doesn't really matter in the bigger picture. I think we just feel like we've got the club back. We've got some positivity after 3 years of turmoil. And, you know, I think the rest of the league will be willingness to go up, because I think if we don't go up, we are going to be super strong next year, providing we can keep Grant McCann and the majority of his squad. I think the rest of the league will be willingness to go up, just as I was willing Wrexham, Stockport and Mansfield to go to give us a better chance next year. So I don't think the team are thinking like that. But I don't know. I just think, you know, McCann's the sort of character that, I don't know, if he'd have said to me yesterday, come on, get your boots on and go on for the last half an hour, you'd have believed he could have gone on and done it. He's just this special character that seems to think everything's possible. So if he thinks we can do it, and I'm pretty sure he does, then I'm happy to go along with him and believe what he thinks.
Okay, Daniel, nice and quickly, score prediction for Monday, afternoon, early evening?
Yeah, it's. I mean, I remember that two-legged game we had in the, what was it then, like the Johnston's paint that?
Yeah, whatever it was then, yeah. Very, very clear in my mind too.
That was 3-3 and 3-2, wasn't it? I mean, nothing would surprise me. It's just been, yeah, it's been such a roller coaster. Obviously, we haven't lost for quite a while now. So it'd be daft to predict anything other than us to win, I think. I don't think we're going to come and, it's not McCann's style to play for a draw and then go for the second leg. I think he'll go all out attack. Obviously, we're going to be without our goalkeeper, presumably. So we'll have to just see how that goes. But I think we've just had this mentality of we just take the next one. So I think it, you know, it's hard to predict how both teams will come out of the next few days. But I think if we're pretty much full strength, other than the goalkeeper, I don't know. I'll go for a 2-1 away win in the first leg.
Daniel, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, last couple of things from me, and they're mostly just pod admin, just to make sure that everyone's up to date with what we're going to be doing throughout the playoffs. Firstly, I would say, although I've mentioned it before, both of our competition winners this year, Mickey getting player of the season and Pete winning our fantasy football competition, we were able to put out the pictures of both of these people with their awards. Mickey with the trophy for player of the season and Pete with his shirt that the squad have signed. I got to say, we can't thank Ben Breeze enough for the prize for Pete. It's superb that they help us in that way. And the club, again, this time specifically James Beckett, for continuing to allow us to be part of the club's official awards night. Mark, I think, you know, one of the things that we can say is that awards night is very well supported by the club, by the players. Everyone's there, even the injured ones.
Yeah, I didn't attend myself, but I believe it was a really good night. And once again, it was unlike the ones that I used to go to, where you would be on a table with crew fans, but the players would be off on a table of their own or numerous tables, and the board would be segregated. Nowadays, each table has two first team players on, and they chat with the fans throughout the night. And I believe from those who attended, it was a brilliant night. And on to that, I don't know if you noticed, but yesterday Belly referenced in his post-match presser that all the injured players travelled down yesterday on the coach and did their rehab in the hotel that they were in. He said in his interview that when he put that to the players, they'd already decided that themselves, that they were all going to travel. And I just think it's brilliant. I think that, it epitomises that togetherness. I think it's a masterstroke having them all there. You know, they'll all be an influence in that dressing room at pre-match, half-time and full-time, on the coach on the way home. And it just shows that we're all in it together. And I hope that they do something similar for the second leg at Doncaster.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% behind that, Mark. The last thing for me is just next week is obviously going to be a bit different. We've got games on Monday and Friday. So the next podcast, we're going to look at recording straight after the first leg. So it'll hopefully be out for you Tuesday morning. So don't look for a podcast next Monday, but please do look for a podcast wherever you normally look next Tuesday morning, where we'll be reacting to that first leg against Doncaster. But for today, I think that will do us. So Mark, Tim, Tom, thank you as ever for coming on today.
Thank you. It's been a good one today.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you as ever for listening. We will be back next week on Tuesday. So until then, up the playoff Reds and goodbye. Bomb, dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, blue moon.